Riffraff is a funny-sounding word, yet when its history is understood, it is a deeply Christian word. In our day and time, it means the rabble or disreputable people. But it did not always mean that. Perhaps surprisingly, it is derived from two Anglo-Saxon words that when used together, originally meant everyone. This unusual etymological fact is also the key to understanding today's parable. There is something distressing about this parable. To put it in contemporary language, imagine you are throwing a party and you send out invitations. No one RSVPs, so you send out invitations again. Not only does every single person say no, but they also murder the postal workers. In anger at this outrageous behavior, you burn down all of their houses, and you fill your party with the poor, the homeless, addicts, and anyone else who just wants a free meal. This, according to Jesus, is the kingdom of God. I think we are rightly disturbed by this image, not only for its hyperbolic and even grotesque imagery, but because it only leaves two possibilities for us. Either we are the people who reject the invitation, or we are the riffraff. That is, we either unite ourselves to the poor, the powerless, and the sinners of the world, or we separate ourselves from the mass of humanity and we are condemned. Ultimately, in God's kingdom, there are no classes of people. The saints cannot be divided into the worthy and the unworthy. They are all by nature unworthy. They are all in need of mercy. That is why God first sent the invitation to his supposed friends, to the apparently perfect, those who seemed most worthy of an invitation to his kingdom. It was only in their rejection of his offer that they discovered the truth, that they were not perfect after all, but were in fact just like the rest of humanity, broken and in need of mercy. Their rejection of God's offer was not the end of their lives. They were not immediately cast down into hell. Rather, it was their chance for a new beginning. Now, seeing themselves as the riffraff, as a part of everyone, they were able to accept the mercy, the invitation that God is offering. Ceasing to separate themselves from the mass of humanity, they find themselves capable of being united to God. And notice that this feast is a wedding, so there is a cost. Rich or poor, all are required to wear a wedding garment. That is, we must be invested in the kingdom of God. We can't just show up and do nothing. In the marriage between God and humanity, we must play an active role. We must prepare ourselves for the moment when God's mercy overwhelms the unworthiness and brokenness of humanity and restores it to the wholeness it was always intended to have, or we will not be allowed to participate. The invitations to this great feast, the kingdom of God, have been sent, and it is time to choose.